Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head?
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
God's grace forever present, for oneness we have divine access to every blessing. love the ending. Are you ready to rise above? Are you ready to tap into so much more? Are you ready to say yes? Well, guess what? Valerie Joy is just singing the sacred yes. Rise above. It's time to rise. It's time to go to places we haven't been allowing ourselves to go. You know, we know there's more, but we say we're afraid of the unknown. Unknown is the only thing that exists. Every minute is unknown until you're there in this very moment. Rise above, Valerie Joy. To find out more about Valerie Joy, go to her website, valeriejoi.com. valeriejoi.com. Life is good. It's getting better. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference simply because you are. You make a difference because you are alive today. You are here to transform this planet. We're bringing the tools to help you understand who and what you are, all by saying yes. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and you can find out a lot about what we're doing by going to LifeConversationsMedia.com, LifeConversationsMedia.com. Catch up on past guests and upcoming guests. If you missed it yesterday, you definitely want to listen to the interview with Greg Braden yesterday. Just off the chain. That's all I can say. It's off the chain. And we've got some other guests coming up, LifeConversationsMedia.com. We are taking your calls and your questions. The number to call it is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Now, we're taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. That's on Facebook. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. That's Life Coach ADE. Ask Life Coach ADE fan page. You can ask the questions there. What else do I need to tell you? Because we've got to jump into the interview. Or there's something else I need to tell you. I can feel it. I can feel it. There's something I need to say. Well, I'm going to do this while I let it come.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, I am. Yes, you are. And that's the truth. And there's nothing you can do about it. You are wonderful. You are whole. You are the delight of God. You are free. All you got to do is say yes and just let the spiritual chip fall where they may. Now, you get to reorganize your life. Now, that was Carly Jackson. You can find out more about her by going to Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-E-X-E-N. The other thing I was supposed to tell you is, and it will come to me, I just needed to trust the process of life. For those of you who don't do Facebook, or maybe those of you at work, and there's a firewall, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com for your questions. LifeConversationsMedia.com, you can ask your questions from there. And just click the Ask Life Coach Ade tab, and you can ask your questions, and we'll get to it. That's it. We're going to jump into the show. Let's do the intro. Let me just, you know, Reverend Deborah is a regular now. I mean, she's like a, what you call her, a visiting host. And every time she comes, we know she comes with the truth, with the word to transform us. Let me read a little bit about her. Reverend Deborah Johnson is the founding minister and president of Inner Light Ministry, an omnifaith outreach ministry dedicated to teaching the practical application of universal spiritual principles to all of life's circumstances. She holds a vision of oneness beyond creed and doctrine, and feels particularly called to heal the sense of separation between those adhering to conservative and progressive ideologies. And you can file it under what you want, but it's all ideologies. She is the founder. She's the founder and president of the Motivational Institute, an organizational development consulting firm specializing in cultural diversity, serving the public, private, and non-profit sectors. As a dynamic public speaker, she is known for her ability to bring clarity to complex and emotionally charged issues. And today we are talking about sacred sexuality. Help me welcome our visiting host, Reverend Deborah Johnson. Hello, Reverend Deborah Johnson.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am good. I am well and getting better.
Good. Always glad to be on your show.
It's such a joy to have you. I get so excited. I mean, you know, I've told you this before. I always feel like I don't care what the topic or title is. We can talk about water or the weather, and it still will be transforming because you bring the word, you bring truth. And for me, I was thinking this morning, you bring it in a way. It's almost like you've given birth to the words. You know, when the mother gives birth, when she's pushing, we don't quite see what the baby looks like. But when the baby comes out, we're like, oh, the baby is so cute. When you bring the word, you give birth to, we're like, whoa, we feel the word, the truth, the love in our being. And I'm so grateful to have you today on Life Conversations Radio.
Thank you.
I know you're a regular, and you probably know what I'm going to ask, but you may not know. But I'm going to ask this question anyway, because I really believe that every moment brings us a new opportunity to recognize who and what we are. I just read a little bit about you from your website, but I want to ask you this question. Who are you? Who is Reverend Deborah Johnson?
I would say that Reverend Deborah Johnson is a spiritual being, part of the creation of life itself that is expressing right now as a prophet, a minister, a lover of people and justice, humbly trying to do what I have been divinely commissioned to do.
I hear it, I get it, I understand. And your work, your words, your teaching is so needed now, more than ever. So I'm grateful for you being here. Today we are talking about sacred spirituality. Let's start from the basics. What is sacred spirituality? No, sacred sexuality. That's what it is.
Well, first off, I want to start with the concept of sacred. When something is considered to be sacred, it is considered to be holy. And unfortunately, in our society, we have come to believe that in order for something to be sacred, it can't be part of the ordinary. So sacred is something that is, you know, unique, like a religious relic or something like that.
Right.
But what makes something sacred is your awareness of its interconnectedness with the whole. So life is sacred. Our individual lives are sacred. It's that spark of us that's divine, our connection to the plants and to the animals and to each other. And I think if we saw more things as sacred, we wouldn't be harming each other or our bodies or the planet. The fact that we can do that is evidence that we don't understand that life is sacred. You can't kill people. You can't lock them up in prison in unfair ways. You can't deny them health care or, you know, their civil rights if you know that they're sacred. So it's very important that we start to see everything as sacred, not just one thing in particular.
Yeah.
But that being said, there really aren't good definitions of sexuality. It's kind of a complicated concept, but there are working ideas with it. First off, I want to say sexuality is not sexual behavior. There are sexual activities that we can engage in, but our sexuality is so much more than that. And part of the place where it is deeply rooted is in the concept of what we refer to as our gender. not mm-hmm. just our biological sex, our genitalia, but mm-hmm. how we perceive of ourselves. And gender might be thought of as the balance on the continuum of the yin-yang, the sort of male-female. We all express somewhere on the continuum. It's not really true that they're polar opposites. So our sexuality becomes sort of a lens through which we see the world. It helps us position ourselves in our relationships with other people. And it's so primary. I mean, even now, not saying that it's a good thing, but the moment you hear somebody's having a baby, the first thing you want to know is a boy or a girl. because there are ways in which we understand that where we're located along that continuum impacts, you know, nearly everything. And there's a freedom there. So in our society, our Western society, we have not allowed the concept of sexuality and sacred to get in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say the concept of sacred sexuality is like an oxymoron. Like how could sexuality be sacred? Because the sort of puritanical background of a lot of the belief systems that we have here in the United States are born out of this social, political, economic paradigm of control that split off spirituality and sexuality, where sexuality just became about procreation to build the fiefdom or to build the kingdom. And there's a lot of confusion about it, but I can tell you one thing, that when you're unresolved in your sexuality, it's going to show up in so many ways in your life. And likewise, when you are at peace with the sense of who you are, a rightness in your skin, and how you relate to everybody else, your sense of well-being, stability, and your creative ruju starts to get a little bit better.
Yes, so much in what you're saying there. When you talk about all of life is sacred, and that's what we're remembering, or that some of us are learning that as we. Right now, and sometimes it challenges us. Sometimes they just have to leave a habit that says it can't be. And when we look at sacred sexuality, and from where you're coming from, and how, you know, in this society, in the Western world, we look at sexuality as more of a sexual behavior. As you said, there's a lot of confusion about it. How can we start to bring clarity to sexuality, being clarity to who we are?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is to understand that we have been working in a faulty paradigm. We have been working in a paradigm of male and female as polar opposites, as being mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are either male or female. And it's just simply not true. It would be similar to Copernicus coming around and saying, no, the sun does not rise and fall. The earth is not the center of the universe with the sun going around it. You know, we are revolving around the sun. Or saying that the earth is not flat. You're not going to fall off an edge. You're going to circle all the way around because it's a sphere. Or Darwin coming along and saying, you know what? DNA-wise, we're really related to all the other primates. Mm-hmm. And I bring these things up because these are huge, huge markers in human evolutionary consciousness that require that we shift the mythology that we have been working with based upon appearance and start understanding a deeper reality. Every single person is a combination of male and female. Hormonally, this is true. Everything in the universe has its, what I would call masculine and feminine. The sea that can be very, very calm and that you can bring your children to and play in the water is the same sea that'll wash you away.
Right.
The same nice little fire that'll warm the living room and make it all nice and cozy will burn your house down. That everything has its more sort of serene, gentle, nurturing aspects, as well as the more sort of dynamic, passionate, forceful aspects. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in our society, we have made synonymous masculine and male, feminine and female, so that we don't allow men, for example, as males, to experience the full range of their humanity of masculine and feminine. And the same thing with women, where we're not allowing people to express their full range. And when that happens, we hinder people and they can't be whole anymore. We need to get rid of that myth of looking for your better half. No, no, that's part of the problem now. And part of the reason why we have such a high divorce rate is
right.
Because we haven't learned how to have two equal, whole, actualized people in partnership with each other. As long as people are playing roles and are only expressing part of their life, everything's fine and honky-dory.
Right.
But we don't have any models yet for how people can be in their wholeness together. We are still
right.
Pioneering that territory.
So much you said in there, it's just like I want to just go through it one at a time, but we don't have the time. But we do. We'll cover what needs to be covered. And listeners, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today's topic is sacred sexuality. My guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson. She is the founder of Inner Lights Ministries. You can find out more about her by going to her website. It's DeborahJohnson.com. No, DeborahJohnson.org. And all the information is there. She's the author of The Sacred Yes. Regular listeners know I told this is my Bible and Your Deepest Intent. I want to go back to the conversation about just the confusion between masculinity, femininity. In the society, the way I look at it, it looks like generally we haven't created a space for people to live out what you're talking about. So we live from a place of wholeness. We put ourselves under different labels. You know, we stick with homosexuality, heterosexuality. You know, people want to know, what's your sexual orientation? What's your religious beliefs? Where do you live? So we have all these labels that we use to separate ourselves sometimes, even under the context that we're trying to recognize the unity, the oneness. So somebody who wants to live that out, what you're sharing, and really living from a place of wholeness in a world that looks, it seems like it deals with separation, what are simple things that we can do when we're practicing wholeness and the world is saying, what's wrong with you? You can't be practicing wholeness. It's all about separation.
Well, part of it is literally giving yourself permission that what I do in my sacred sexuality classes, I will ask people to locate themselves. A continuum is a line that's open on both ends, just like a number line where there's an infinite number of spaces that you can be. And we're all combinations. We're combinations of masculine and feminine energy. And what I usually ask people to do is just imagine for a moment if they were a little bit sort of like to the left or a little bit to the right of where they are now. If they could stand in feminine energy a little bit more than what they're doing now, or masculine energy a little bit more than what they're doing now, you know, both, what do they think they might be doing? And what gifts might be there? You know, for example, if I were a little bit more on the feminine side, I think that I would show up in a way that was a little more nurturing. It's not that I'm not compassionate, but sometimes I come off a little businessy, and that kind of grandmother's presence is what I would call it, where you just kind of feel yummy. just right. In a round of you feel a little bit better.
Yes. Oh, you know, want to hang with you. It's like, can I have some of that?
Yeah, I think that I would be more there, you know? Oh. Or if I were standing a little bit more on the other side, you know, of the masculine, I think that there's a way in which I might not always be questioning myself about what everybody else is going to think about what I'm doing, and might be able to walk through life just a little bit more sort of self-assured, you know, and confident. What that exercise lets me know is that there are capacities within me that I could choose to develop or choose to show more and just start walking in that direction. Just like being nurturing, for example, it's a choice. So I make myself, so to speak, I take that extra time, I send that extra note, I reach out and give that extra hug, I will do something that looks more like that. And each of us can do that. Each of us can choose to expand a little bit more. I do a lot of work with men in prison and even lifers. And so often, part of the reason why they're locked up, I'm really being truthful, part of the reason why they're locked up is that nobody gave them permission to really embrace their feminine energy.
Yeah.
Nobody let them cry. Nobody let them feel vulnerable. Nobody let them be forgiving instead of revengeful. They weren't taught that it was okay to be vulnerable. So they had to have a lot of defense mechanisms and aggression. Nobody taught them how to just be with their feelings and grieve. So rather than grieve, they would go into anger. And the transformation is just incredible. And what all of them describe, and this is very important, is not that they feel like they are becoming feminized, but that they are becoming more human.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes me cry when they tell us in our ministry that we treat them like they're human. And it makes me cry because I say nobody should ever be thanked for treating somebody like they're human.
Now that's a concept.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that that the burden of being hyper masculine put them in a box where they were not able to express their full humanity. And all of us can just start somewhere. You know, whatever that is, to expand the horizon. I tell you, one of the things that just tickles me the most, I love basketball. And when I see these, you know, seven-footers giving their interviews, you know, after the game or something, and they have these little toddlers on their lap grabbing at the microphones or... You know, at the end of the game, you know, particularly when they're little girls, you know, on their shoulders. And it's just so wonderful to see how we've been changing and how we are allowing men to nurture. We're allowing them to be with little kids and to be there at the birth of their children and to not feel like they're less of a man for changing diapers. You know, or to see women who now are going for it, who are, you know, taking charge and allowing themselves to be creative and to have careers and to, you know, be economically self-sufficient and standing in their power. Just, you know, the society is just so much richer. Can you imagine us going back to the days where women were not in the employment workforce? I mean, like, can we even imagine a world without women doctors, women lawyers, or college professors, or like, it just feels strange.
It just seems impossible. It's just it's like, what does that look like?
But it hasn't been that long. Is my point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just within our lifetime.
Yes. We're taking your calls. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade on Facebook. If you don't do Facebook or you're blocked because you're listening at work, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Let your spirit be your guide. I'm not trying to tell you to do what you don't need to do, but go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. You can send your questions from there. And there's a tab, Ask Life Coach Ade. There's a question in the chat room. I think I'll ask that. I'm going to take a quick break. And I want to ask a question in the chat room, as well as this leaning into the masculine side and the feminine energy, really, especially in areas of relationship, male and female, same-sex relationship, because there are some men who still don't feel comfortable holding their child in public or changing diapers because they don't want to be seen as being, it's just fill in the blank, you know. I want to talk more about that because I feel that that's how we can start to change where we individually, as men, to use your words, start leaning to our yumminess and then also embracing our self-assuredness. And that's how we be the change we want to see. So listeners, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. Now, I have a lot of friends that have issues with relationship and why men are this and why women are that and what's really going on. This is your opportunity to ask questions. Do not come and ask me after the show. But what I want to know is, I'm like, go listen to the show. You missed your opportunity. We're going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Shortbread, touching up bar. How many cheeks? snickerdoodle shortbread, touch your nut bars, have a treat in the cookie jar. One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Have courage, make that move. Rise above, change your consciousness, expand your awareness, and now allow life to be life through you. We're talking about sacred sexuality, and Reverend Deborah Johnson's website address is deborahjohnson.org, and to find out about her church, it's innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. Now, just a little, I want to give you a little a gift here. Well, I'm not, but Reverend Deborah is in the church. On that page, if you go to Inner Ministry, Inner Light Ministries, okay, let's do this slowly. There's a picture of Reverend Deborah. There's an inspirational on demand, After the show, now right now, make sure you go there and go through the archive. There's so much more there. Reverend Deborah is going to be with us till 1 o'clock today. We've got about 23 minutes or so. And Celeste Morgan is coming to us at 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. So stand by. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Before I go to the question in the chat room, yes.
I just changed my schedule, so I'll stay your whole show.
Oh, yes. Ooh, I'm going to do the dance. I'm so excited. Thank you. Oof. Okay, great. All right, let me breathe. I'm excited now. Okay, because actually what I've been doing is, like, oh, my God, I can't ask that question because we don't have time. Now I can really release and let go and tell the truth. Okay, let's talk about what I want to know, really. What about men who have been conditioned not to lean into their yumminess, their feminine side? Men who have been miseducated that to express a feminine energy is you being a sissy and there's something wrong with you, you're not strong, you're weak. And they even have challenges being a father. They have challenges changing diapers, and they come up with this bravado that really they know is not helping them, but they're stuck. They're struggling with going with what they really feel, but what they've been taught. How can this kind of man begin to do the work so they can find balance within themselves?
Well, it's a process of unlearning. And all of us have to unlearn something in order to step into our full power. What I find is that, just like with addiction, people have to hit the bottom. And there comes that point in time where you come to realize that you're in what's referred to as the law of diminishing returns. Here's what happens, is that there comes a point in time when the very thing that you were doing that once helped you, if you keep doing that very thing, it's going to work against you. This is a very important concept to understand. So let's say, for example, eating is good for you, but there comes a point in time when there's too much food.
Right.
Exercise is good for you, but there comes a time when there's too much. Supporting your children is good, but there comes a point in time where more of that exact same thing is going to handicap them. Mm-hmm. And I say this to say that we need to understand that the things that we're doing really aren't good or bad. They're good up until a point. So being self-sufficient, you know, taking care of yourself, being able to be, you know, like emotionally stoic or whatnot, you know, is not a bad thing. So it's not criticizing people for being what they are. And there comes a point in time where more of that same thing is going to get you less than more. So what I usually ask people to do is ask yourself, what is this costing me? If you find yourself constantly breaking up with people and starting all over again, you know, I'm out of here or whatever, is that worth it to you? Do you really have the closeness that you want? Is somebody really showing up for you? Are you really showing up for them? It's just like with addiction. At some point, you can't just try to get away from the drug. At some point, you have to want to be sober.
Mm-hmm.
And the yeah. vision of sobriety, the desire for sobriety, has to be what pulls you more than just trying to get away from the drink. Because if you just try to get away from something, you'll switch it up for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So in business, it's called the opportunity cost. Like, what is this costing me? What, like I'm on this phone with you, conference with you now. So what else could I be doing with my time? That's my opportunity cost. So at some point, we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing with my energy? Is this way of being going to help me? Is it going to serve me? Since everything multiplies, what happens when I get more of it? You never die of too much love. You don't die of too much joy. Too much anger will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Too much resentment will really get to you. So at some point, you just have to, you know, like they say in 12-step, how's that working for you? You know?
right.
Whatever that is that you're holding on to, how's that working for you? And the good thing about all of this, Ade, is that since the balance is who we really are,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to do anything to become it. It's already who we are. All we have to do is just be willing to be who we are. That's all. All we have to do is just wake up in the morning and just say to ourselves, I am willing to be the perfect, whole, complete human being that I was designed to be. That's all. That's all. See, the light always shines. You don't have to make the light shine. We just have to stop blocking it.
Right.
It'll come through a keyhole. It'll come through any little crack or crevice. And just declaring, I'm willing to be the whole person that God made me to be, is like cracking the window open a little bit. And the light rushes in. The light rushes in. It's like lighting a candle in the darkness.
Right.
And there's no amount of darkness that can take over, there's no amount of darkness that can take over the light of a candle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the darker it appears to be, the greater the illumination is from the candle.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes,
and I'd like to say one more thing here about this, what God ordained me to be, what God has made me to be. The other thing that we have to do on our road to sacred sexuality is to unleash God. We have put God in a hyper-masculine box. And we try to smooth it out a little bit with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So in our traditional Christian paradigm, God is sort of the epitome of all of the masculine energy, and the Holy Spirit is the feminine. And that's how we do our construct to kind of reconcile it. But we understand that sort of this image of patriarchal God without the Holy Spirit ain't gonna work.
Right?
It's not gonna work. So part of the reason why we sometimes don't connect to God is because we have God in a box. We're not in my spirit letters in the sacred. Yes, it says, you know, when you embrace all of me, then you're able to rest in my bosom,
mm-hmm,
as well as lean on my everlasting arms. I will rock you and I will cradle you. I will nurture and I will sustain you, just like I will provide for you and guide you and counsel you and direct you. You can rest in me as well.
I want to tie that because I wanted you to talk about the ultimate love letter in your book, The Sacred Yes, Letters from the Infinite. The ultimate love letter in this book is titled Be My Lover. But I want to tie it in somehow with what the listener in the chat room. She actually has a question. She said, I've read that sexual energy is our strongest spiritual energy. No, she said, yes, sexual energy is our strongest spiritual energy. She said, do you agree with that?
Yes, from the human standpoint. There's a reason why we refer to our sexual energies as procreative. If we were to look at it as a chakra system,
mm-hmm,
there are chakras that are going from our third eye, from the top of our head, straight on down to the tip of our toes. And that energy field is very, very powerful. We think, though, that it only has to do with sexual activity. But it doesn't have to do with sexual activity. It's how we harness that energy and what we do with it. We can channel it into athletics. We can channel it into art and to music. We can channel it into sacred service. We can channel that tremendous power and energy into any number of things. This is part of the reason why we have so many teenagers that are considered, quote, unquote, at risk. They have all these hormones going. They have all of this creative mojo happening, all of these feelings and emotions, and we're not supplying our children as a society collectively with enough outlets. You know, they need to channel this stuff into drama and theater, you know, into the marching band and the football team and, you know, go out and help build a house with, you know, Habitat of Humanity. It's like, do something with this stuff. In our more indigenous cultures, we understood that. And as young people were coming into their own, we brought them into the society where they could learn to channel this stuff, create, sew, cook, weave, hunt, do something.
I know that's right.
You just can't sit around and have all those hormones and all that
energy
flowing through you.
Right.
So a lot of the drugs and stuff that they're taking is trying to anesthetize, trying to calm it down a little bit, because they're so revved up that we haven't given them a place to put it.
But media also suggests that this is the way you put that energy, by being in a relationship. But then we tell them, oh, no, you got to wait till you're an adult. You got to wait till you're married before you do so-and-so. And then you, or else, you know, if you have sex before you're married, you're going to go to hell. So we're literally, we say we care about our children. We say we don't want to leave them in debt, but we're messing them up emotionally and spiritually.
Well, yes. And unfortunately, we have a society now that is hyper-sexed.
Mm-hmm.
where literally our young people are just eating, breathing, drinking, you know, almost every moment of every day, these images. It becomes obsessive, and it's not balanced. And unfortunately, throughout society, we're teaching people that that's where your fulfillment comes from. Mm-hmm. But it's like junk food. It becomes like empty calories, where you're never satisfied. You eat it, but as soon as you finish, you got to have some more.
Right.
Because it's not satisfying. Where we're making our sense of self-worth based upon conforming to a certain mold. You have to dress this way and dance this way and move your head that way and wear your hair this way and you know, and if you do all that,
and dance,
and then if you do all that, then somebody's gonna, you know, like your booty.
But
then what? You know, then what? We've gotten to the point where we don't even have love songs. We have lust songs.
Yes.
Where we are reducing people to body parts. I'm going to tap that, this. I'm going to do this to that part of you. And I'm going to wear you out. I'm going to whoop it. I'm going to tear it up. I'm going to, you know, and I mean, and all this violent stuff. We're not back into the loving. How can I support you? How can I care for you? How can I help you actualize your hopes and your dreams? How can I be a support system for you? How can I partner with you so that we can build a life together? You know, how can I be present and listen? You know, I mean, that's the stuff through which relationships are made of. How can I learn to be more kind and compassionate when you're going through your stuff? How can I mirror back to you your goodness when you have forgotten? How can I learn to forgive you when you've done things unconsciously or done things out of retaliation because you were too afraid and couldn't stand in your spiritual power? You know, this is the stuff that relationships are made out of, not how much you can shimmy and shake.
Right. We're going to take a call, but before we do that, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page on Facebook or like page, Ask Life Coach Ade on Facebook. Or you can send your questions from lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And while you're doing that, if you've done that already, we also invite you to share the show right now with your friends, your coworkers, your lovers, your haters, your enemies. You really don't have an enemy or hater. There's only one of us here. And if you project it out, it comes back to you. But anyway, whatever label you give them, we just ask you to share the show with them. You can share it on your Facebook by clicking the like button, or you can tweet it, you can text it, send a smoke signal. Just do whatever you think you need to do. Nudge them and say, listen to this. We'll really appreciate it. I want to talk about the letter that I said, the ultimate love letter, Be My Lover, in your book, Sacred Yes. But before we do that, let's go to a caller. Donna. Donna from Canada's got a question for you, Reverend Deborah.
Okay. Okay, cool. I was just about to get off. I had to get off. Anyways, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so fine.
Nice.
Thank you for calling.
I love this conversation. So beautiful. We should post it and have a live stream about it. Anyway, my question is, you mentioned something about, you know, how we're in the old paradigm of looking for our better half. And that's what has us all messed up. And we're whole as we are. And we need to embrace our wholeness in order to create, like, this new paradigm relationship. So how does this new paradigm relationship look like? I've been having so many conversations with my girlfriends lately, and, you know, I'm looked at kind of like as an alien, because everything you mentioned resonates. And we're so used to the way we looking at the way relationships have been, and I really truly believe it's really shifting.
It is. It's shifting, and it has to shift because the paradigms that we have been working with were not based upon the fullness. What I would ask you to do, because it's going to be way too much to cover in this, is get my book, well, the book that channeled itself through me, called The Sacred Yes. And there are some beautiful letters in there, particularly at the end, about what is a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And it really speaks to this these questions about how do we partner. There's another such beautiful letter in the second volume. These are, I call it Letters from the Infinite, that is also on marriage and how we do these particular commitments. What it boils down to is that you must be willing to be whole, and I can't say that enough. There's a way in which we sometimes are trying to figure out what we need to be so that the other person can be what they're supposed to be, or we're trying to figure out what we need to be so that they will like us, so that they will attract us, so that we can keep them. And it creates all of this stress, and it winds up being like a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing for us is to be willing to stand in our own place of authenticity. What's really genuine for you? What really feels real and honest for you? And what these new partnerships look like is a little bit more give and take, where the things that go on complement each other's strengths or weaknesses. So we've started as a society moving in that direction, and I'll give you a couple of examples. So let's say, for example, you have a man and a woman, and that those aren't the only kind of couples, but let's say you have a man and a woman, and the woman actually has the better analytical, mathematical mind. Okay? Let her handle the money.
No, that's right.
Let her handle the money. And it doesn't make you less of a man because she runs the show financially. If that's the better blend, then, you know, let's do that. Within parenting, one of you may be the better disciplinarian than the other. It doesn't have to be based upon your gender. Who does that best? Who's the one who actually enjoys that? And with that, part of this new paradigm is some trading off and some balance so that the burden of one activity is not always on the other. I'll give you just some things that I've encouraged couples to do. Let's just say the woman says, you know what? I don't want to cook every day. That's just too much of a burden. And he says, well, you know, that's fine, baby, but I don't know how to cook. Okay, I don't care what you do. Wednesday is your day, okay? I'm not cooking Wednesday. So nook, crook, cranny, some food needs to be on that table Wednesday, and you need to bring it. I don't care if you buy it. I don't care if your mama makes it. I don't care how it gets here. But we're going to balance this out a little bit, you know? I need some time on Saturday. You're going to take care of the kids. No, this is not babysitting. You can't babysit your own kids.
Hell, say that again. I can't.
These are your kids.
What? And, what? That's your child. Oh,
and you're going to spend some time on Saturday while I go out and do some things. It's where you share the burdens, you share the responsibilities, and you try to play to each other's strengths.
Mm.
That's what the new paradigm is going to look like, a partnership.
Well, Donna, I hope that answered your question. So
yes.
Let's move into this.
What, did it?
Yes, Donna? Thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
You were just marinating her. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, I'm glad you can stay longer because I'm just so grateful. Actually, let's do this real quick. We've got a quick segment that comes up at 1 o'clock. Let's do that as one on the dot. We'll do that right now. And then I want to talk about, because we're talking about how do we create this newness. Because what you just shared with Donna is a way to create a relationship that works for the couples rather than what society says it is, rather than what we were taught a man is supposed to do, a woman is supposed to do. And for me, this chapter in your book, The Sacred Yes, Be My Lover, just really gives us everything we need to create that, to embrace that sense of oneness. We want to do, we've got a quick segment coming up called The Sacred, no, so much going on in my head. Yeah, take a breath, Andy. It's okay, all is well. All right, it's now time for, what is it called again? Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am very well. It's all that water that's flowing. Hello, Reverend Deborah Johnson. Hello,
hello.
My coach today. I am enjoying this conversation, and I want to say hello to the family. Good afternoon, family. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift.
Hello.
Numbers give us info to help us embrace all that is showing up in our life. It's Thursday. The date is January 19th, 2012. At January 19th, 2012, and you get 2032. At 2032, and it equals 7. Our crown chakra is our 7th chakra. 7 is the skunk in medicine cards, which speaks of reputation. 7 also shows up as the chariot. Now, today we're going to put the spotlight on the 7 of cups and take the energy of 7 and tie it to the cups, which means to receive water. It's about being prepared to receive for you. Are a sacred vessel. Here's a clue for this moment. What should I do then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. That's from 1 Corinthians 14:15. Interesting, because we have before us on the 7 of cups a magician who is expressing as a woman. She is balancing a cup on her head with a dove settling into it. The dove is a symbol of peace and love. With her scarf in her hands, the woman decides which gems stay or go. She keeps seeds for integration, transformation, and growth. Things that do not serve are let go. There are 6 cups placed on the ground to receive from the overflow, as an intricate irrigation system is built with leaves connecting from the one cup on her head. Life Coach Aday reminds that we should be so selfish, that we are so self-full, that we can give from the overflow. And this card reminds us to be conscious about how we are showing up and what we are thinking about, because Reverend Deborah Johnson reminded on her last visit that what we are looking for, we are looking with. So be sure you are attracting and loving from your highest vibration. The 7 of Cups also reminds us to move with the voice inside of us, listen to our emotions, and attract from a place of power, of balancing both our sacred masculine and feminine sides as we master our life with the energy of 7 with cups by surrendering to the sacred. All is well. I'll see you on Monday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. As you flow, it's all about the flow. Yes. I'm just smiling over here, just loving when we surrender to the flow, you know? You're listening to Ask Life Coach Aday on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. You can find out more about upcoming guests and past guests by going to LifeConversationsMedia.com, LifeConversationsMedia.com. My guest is Reverend Deborah Johnson. If you're just joining us, her website address is deborahjohnson.org. DeborahJohnson.org. And you can, if you want to find out more about her church, the Spiritual Center, it is InnerLightMinistries.com. InnerLightMinistries.com. And we are talking sacred sexuality. So, Reverend Deborah, I want to talk about this ultimate love letter. I mean, if anybody, I was reading it, I was thinking, if somebody wants to act like they got game and they take this and write it and make it sound like they wrote it, oh, they will win everything. But it's not, it's tapping into our own game. Let's talk about this chapter or this letter called Be My Lover. Here, God, it's speaking through you and reminding us, all of us through you, to really involve, include, embrace God in all our relationships. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. That in the letter it says that God always speaks in the first person voice there. It says that I'm a Trinity. I always do things in threes. And that you essentially will always be in a love triangle. But I must be one of partners, and that I must be the apex. I can't be the other. What winds up happening is that the primary marriage has to be between us and our sense of ourselves as being one with God. That's the primary marriage. And everything else comes out of that. And too often we try to substitute human relationships for that primary marriage. And we're busy turning to people, places, and things for stuff that they really can't even give us.
Right.
Do you want me to share this letter?
Yes, please. Go ahead, because there was a part I was going to read. I actually forgot. Well, go ahead. No, I wanted to come through you.
Okay. So this was at a point in time in my life when I was really in a lot of pain. And I'll try to read it with the same kind of tenderness that I got it, because I hear it first, and then I transcribe it. It says, stay focused. As I said, the world, the outer world, is too much with you. Yet it is the inner world that you must keep close to your breast. You are not alone, my child. You are never alone. Have you not learned that by now? You are without human company at this specific moment in time, so that you may see me better. When you can still see me without having to look for me in the face of a lover, you will have all of the company that you desire. I am not keeping anything away from you. It is you who cannot receive the gift of having it all. Yes, having it all. You and your partner must have a relationship with me as well as with each other. Spiritually speaking, I love a good menage a trois. I do things in threes. I'm a Trinity, and you must learn how to love in a triad. You will always be in a triangle, and I will be one of your lovers. But I cannot be the other one. I must be the apex of the triangle. I must be at the hub, the central force around which everything else moves. As long as you keep me as one of your lovers, you can have all of the human love that you conceive of. What does it mean for me to be one of your lovers? What does it mean for me to be your lover? Keep me on your mind every moment of the day. Feel me with you no matter where you are. Long for my presence more than the presence of anyone else. Call me. Call out to me just to hear my voice. Spend time with me. Make dates with me. Keep these dates as sacred appointments with your beloved. Be selfish of our time together. Grow with me. Become seasoned in the depth of your trust. Let no one know you without knowing that you are partnered with me. Keep me in your conversations. Reference our living together. Share stories of our times and our chats together. Hurry home to me and take the short way home. Do everything and anything to be with me. Risk your reputation and all that is seemingly important for the joy of my company. Share everything that you have with me. Commingle, share, give, receive, honor, and respect our relationship. Treasure it, share it. never be closeted about claiming me as your true love. It matters not what people think. Put me first. Judge all things against their impact on our relationship. Forsake all others because of me. And let no one and nothing put our bond, our union asunder. Come to me. Hide nothing from me. Share all of your fears and worries with me, even your concerns about me. I will listen and will judge you not. Never think that another's harbor will be safer than mine. Yes, you belong to me, but I know how to love you freely, open-handedly. I know how to love you while you love everyone else that you must love. There's no competition in our relationship. No need for secrets. I'm never less for anything that you do, nor are you, although you may feel that you are. Let not your burdens be heavy. Bring them to bed to me at the end of the day. Let me soothe your tired muscles and quell your anxious thoughts. I can love you through another, or I can love you on my own. You can express through another, as long as you know that it is me. You can experience me through another, as long as you know that it is me. And then it goes on. You need not do anything but love and show up. Forgive yourself, forgive yourself, my child, for anything and everything, for you will need all available energy. And it goes on and on. And then it turns around and says, I will be your lover too. It says, I will be your lover. I told you what I want from you. Now let me tell you what I'll give you. You will always have my undivided attention, whether you ask for it or not. I will understand every word that you say and hear what you are too afraid to say. I will anticipate your every need and assure that each and all are met. You will be greeted with a smile every time we meet. My arms will always enfold and embrace you. I will be there to share your glee, to hold your hand when you tremble. I will brush away the tears that fall from your broken heart and encourage you to risk another step. I will be your playmate. The entire world is our playground, and we can make new toys out of my creations. Forever faithful will I be. I will neither abandon nor reject you. Abuse is not in my nature. I will be mindful of you and care for no one more than you. I will not move away or change my address or phone number. You don't have to incur costs seeking me out. Forever available, I am at your beck and call any hour of the day. You say, this sounds too good to be true, too codependent. It's only codependent when you humans try to play God to each other. I'm going to say that again. It is only codependent when you human beings try to play God to each other. I am God. When you turn to me for these things, it'll make you more independent, not less. I will keep nothing from you. Anything that I have or know about is available to you. I will be upfront and honest, direct and to the point. You'll never be confused about my position if you're willing to see my side. I am sensual and sensuous. I will be in every sight, sound, texture, and taste. No need to look around for someone to share it with. Just close your eyes and enjoy the fullness of the moment with me. Contemplate the mysteries of the world with me. My insights and perspectives are there for the asking. I have asked you not to keep secrets from me, and I will keep none from you. I will see you beyond your weaknesses. Affirm your strength and your beauty. I will share your load. Lend you my courage. Carry you across the threshold of your greater yet to be. If you are as faithful to me as I am to you, there's nothing that we can't do together. Your dreams will become a drawing board. You will be limited only by your imagination. Your coffers will always be full. You will live from the overflow. The restlessness of your mind will cease. The mindless chatter will haunt you no more. Know that I am with you in your every challenge. In the moment, picture me handling you a gift, a package of wonderful revelations. Don't assume that you know the contents by the wrapping. Don't just stand there and shake the box, turning it over and over and trying to guess what's inside. When you receive it with gratitude, the wrapping, yea, even the box, becomes transparent. You will look beyond the appearance. You will see me in the box and know exactly what to do with me. I never tire of you. Hold nothing against you. Have no hidden agendas. I love you. I am that right relationship that will be in love with you forever, in spite of knowing everything about you. Is there anything more intimate than this? Why do you and the rest of humanity keep searching for something that is with you always?
Don't just put God first. Fall in love with God. I read that this morning, and there's nothing I need to say. You listeners heard it. But the thing that come up for me is, if we can apply this, then we start putting pressures on our partners and our wives and husband to be what God wants to be through and as us.
Yes. We stop putting pressure on them, and we stop feeling like we're not enough.
Mm.
And most especially, maybe we don't have a partner. And we don't have to live in the anxiety of feeling like we're alone or abandoned or rejected. It's said no. We need to walk around in the world as though we are always partnered, and that we are partnered with God. I get challenged on that all the time. You know, at times if I'm the only one there, or, you know, well, I don't go the extra mile, you know, do the niceties, put the rose out or the nice placemat or whatnot. And first is, you may not think that you deserve it, but I certainly do. I do. So when you eat, do you act like I'm sitting there too? When you go to bed, do you act like I'm there? Do you say goodnight to me? Do you wake up in the morning like I'm there? And it's like, well, you know, you put it like that.
I'm feeling you.
And I'm saying, if we will do that,
yes,
then everything in the world will be different.
Yes,
if we will do that, then we will have a sense of being complete and not so desperate. And it doesn't mean that we won't have relationships. But some of us think we're in love, but we're in need.
Mm.
I'm in need with you, or I'm in need of you. And then that taints it.
And embodying that letter takes us back to the beginning of the conversation.
Yes.
If we live from this space, then we see everything as holy, everything is sacred.
Right.
Rather than that's holy and this is not. Because we're taking God with us, and everything becomes an expression of God, everything we know that God is in it. So we don't have the time, but we know God is in same-sex marriage and male-female relationship. And
yeah,
but speaking of marriage,
and some of the letters in the sacred yes and your deepest intent on marriage address that very issue.
Yes.
It addresses what we call same-sex marriage. It addresses the sort of politics of it all and makes the distinctions between the secular and the civil and the sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really excellent. I highly, highly recommend, because for the guidance for us as a society, as well as us in our relationships, it's good information right there.
Right, right. And briefly, from the letters, that's one of the other letters that I love in Sacred Yes about marriage. And when I read it, I also look at it as romantic relationship or intimate relationship, period. But can you tell us what marriage is, supposed to be, or what we can use marriage for as it's expressed in the Sacred Yes?
Well, marriage is really, it's not even just about one person. It's not just about one thing. And there are a series of questions, and I believe that it's in your deepest intent letter, where it basically just asks you all these questions, like, are you a better person for being in your marriage? Are you kinder and more forgiving for being in your marriage? Are you more available, to me spiritually, for being in your marriage? Are you more, it's like all these different things. And it's saying those are the questions that you need to answer. And when you can answer yes to those questions, then you'll have it. But if you're doing anything but trying to answer yes to those questions, is your home a place that you run to or that you run from?
Hmm.
Is your marriage a place where you can reveal,
right,
yourself? And that our job is to just keep finding ways to say yes to those questions. And that becomes the secret of marriage. Marriage is about partnering. And I love the way that it put it in terms of institutional exploitation. It said that if the real goal of marriage is servitude, then calling it a marriage does not make it more enlightened.
I know that's right.
And it makes it plain, too, that marriage is not just about what happens between two people, that there are ways in which we are married to a lot of different things.
Right.
And we need to look at our commitments. There's a spirit letter that I've adapted that I use for my marriage ceremonies, where it's called the TLCs of marriage: trust, love, communication, and sharing. And it describes them as part of a living organism, and how each one of them has to be present for a relationship's growth. And it talks about each one, and it says that the trust is likened to the spine that protects the vulnerable nervous system. It gives the relationship, flexibility and backbone. But just as feeling sensations are impaired when the spine is injured, so trust is impaired when emotions are injured. To protect the trust in your relationship so that you can remain flexible with one another. And how love is likened to the heart that beats in fair weather and foul, and it provides the organism with much needed vitality. But a heart should be fully activated but never deliberately stressed, for a heart can only withstand so much pressure. So it's like keep the love flowing so that all areas of your life can be, you know, activated, but don't stress each other. And how communication is likened to the brain. That's, you know, sifting and sorting information and, you know, and sending and receiving, you know, but that we have to be, you know, open with it and not use that information, you know, against one another. And how the S for sharing is likened to the lungs, that breathes in the surrounding air, and there's no effort made to hoard the air or to equally divide the air, that the needs of one can be fulfilled without impacting the needs of the other, and to just keep sharing so your relationship can breathe, and how these things can't substitute for one another. So, and I tell people, whatever commitment that you're in, really take a look at that. The TLCs, trust, love, communication, and sharing. Trust, love, communication, and sharing. Because your bond is only as strong as the weakest of these links. Mm. It's like a chain. And the chain is going to snap at the weakest link. So we can say, well, you know, we have a lot of love and, you know, we communicate. Yeah, but if the trust isn't there, or it's going to snap there. So whether it's your business, or, you know, your coworkers, whether it's your home, whether it's your spiritual community or your church, you got to have all of that for long-term committed relationships. Trust, love, communication, and sharing. It becomes a little like litmus test. Say, where do I need to beef it up?
Thank you for birthing truth, birthing love, and just washing over us and being available, setting the intention and just saying yes. There's just something about who you are, your gift, and the way you express the truth that resides within each and every one of us. You activate it. You make it come alive. I am grateful for you. I've shared many times on my show, you're my spiritual midwife, because you are part of who I am today. And I'll never forget that encounter. And it was like, when I look back at it, it was like God was just writing this. I was like, yo, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I remember that day when I came to you, tears running down my cheeks, and you looked at me and said, I told you that's all you had to say. I was there. I couldn't even stand up. And you were there, your energy, your spirit, and all the other females that were around just loving me. I am eternally grateful for who you are on this planet. Thank you so much, Reverend Deborah.
My pleasure. Okay.
Thank you. And I want to put this out in the universe. I look forward, or maybe it's already out there, maybe I don't know, is your books, The Sacred Yes and The Deepest Intent, and then audio version yet?
There's an audio version of The Sacred Yes. It's not all of the letters, but it's quite a few. It's a 4-CD set.
Okay.
And there is a companion, an affirmation book to The Sacred Yes, called Living the Sacred Yes, as well as some of the music that you played a little earlier, Singing the Sacred Yes, that's put out by Valerie Joy, my partner. And she and I actually wrote that song, Rise Above. I did the lyrics, and she wrote the music. And a number of the songs on there are our collaborations. And you can check out my website at deborahjohnson.org or at my ministries, innerlightministries.com. And we can make sure that you get all the supplies and everything that you need. They are available online, but we can give you special discounts if you come through us.
Awesome. Thank you, Reverend Deborah, for all you do. I truly, truly love you.
Thank
you. Have a wonderful day. You're
all right.
Welcome.
You take care.
Bye-bye. We've heard The Sacred Yes. Let's sing The Sacred Yes. Woo. Let's see which song do I want to play. We're going to take a break. We're going to sing The Sacred Yes, and then we'll come. Let's see. It's funny when Reverend Deborah said she wrote that, and Valerie, they both worked on it. It's like, yes, because I always listen to what song to play. I'm always saying, okay, Spirit, what song should I play?
And, ooh, I like this. This is what I'm going to play. I don't know if I can play all of it. But anyway, yes, so I'm led to play Living Grace. Ooh, I love it now. Okay, anyway, stop getting excited. Calm down. Anyway, if you have any questions or comments, 347-426-3346, this is Living Grace from Valerie Joy's CD, Living, Singing the Sacred, yes, Living Grace is such a beautiful song, and I know you guys were quiet in the chat room, I understand, here's Living Grace, we'll be right back after this.
Just lead me to your waters of living grace. Are you thirsty? Are you dehydrated when it comes to love, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to who you really are? Are you relying on religion or the politicians or your spiritual teachers to tell you who you are? You are what you're looking for. You're already it. Valerie Joy. This song is called Living Grace. Once you have a dose, it is more than a dose. Well, what you know, as I'm saying in the chat room to Benzi, say, you know, Living Never just serves some serious soul food. Now, all you can eat, all you can digest. It's about showing up. It's about saying yes. What do you have to give? What do you have to offer? How are you expressing your love? And it's not just love from an emotional perspective. We're talking about that presence and power that is you. The love that sets you free and sets everybody else free. When God becomes your lover and you're drinking from the living waters of grace, then you're always in God. Then everything is sacred. Then everything is holy. Then you don't have to judge or criticize another or the news or the media. You just see where they need to grow. Now, life is good. It's getting better. We have all that we need. We're going through a shift. We're growing through it. And we have everything we need. We just got to be willing to do the work. Be willing. Be willing to be who you were created to be. It's that simple. It's that simple. Of living grace, Valerie Joy. Every day I want to drink from that water. Remind me to drink from that water of living grace. To know, to remember that the grace of God is upon me, is upon us. And by changing our definition, by changing how we see what God is, and not just a man up in the sky or whatever else. Actually, I'm just going to read something from a listener. Thank you. I'll call you Lady G because I don't know if you want me to say your name, but let's see. She said, she's talking to me on Facebook. You are so beautiful. Your love is amazing, and this message was exactly what I needed to hear. She said, I get hung up on a lot on the word God from past religious programming, but I heard it so differently today. Thank you for being the guiding light. Yes, and she said, I want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you. Your kindness, your compassion, and your love. Yes, indeed, my sister friend, I love you too. I love you, and I love you for saying yes, not on yourself. Yes, we got to be willing to hear God differently. And if God doesn't work for you, use the creator, source, universe, you know, call it whatever, the nothing, the no thing that is the everything. But
find yourself in it. And the sacred, sacred yes is another quote. I mean, there's so many things. I was telling Teresa in the chat room, this is my Bible. I mean, this is because, I mean, it just works for me, all right? But there's a quote that I share quite often. And if you've never heard it, and even if you've heard it before, just listen to it differently. Where is it? Right here. Page 144, I think it is. 141. I mean, where is it? No, it's not 141. It's one something. Okay, 146. There we go. The struggle for freedom is really just a demand to be authentic. The struggle for freedom is really just a demand to be authentic. So while we dance through life, through religion, through sexual orientation, politics, culture, tradition, remember to pay attention to your authenticity. When you pay attention to your authentic self, you will find your freedom. You will not be limited by somebody or someone, organization, whatever it is, telling you you can't do this or do that, because you're coming from a place of love. You're coming from that place of guidance, inner guidance. And you don't have to get in debate if you're in a same-sex relationship and why you must get married. We're all trying to do our best, and we all don't know. You know, there's so many rules and regulations about life and marriage and who we are being. You know, people who are against homosexuality, we talk about it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And the same people are going to say having more than one wife is wrong. It's just wrong. But hello, it's in the Bible. They say, but Abraham, how many wives did he have? Solomon, David, folks were having wives as if the females were running out. Or they just, anyway. what's your definition of God? When you understand who and what God is for you, when you have a definition that frees you, you can embrace your sexuality. Then you know that you're really living from a place of sacred sexuality, and everything is sacred. Everything is holy. No matter what you're going through and growing through, there is no spot where God is not. And for this, I am grateful. I gratefully release this show. I'm going to release it with a beautiful song that when I hear it, it just thinks to me. Oh, we got someone got a question or comment? Oh, okay. We got time. I was talking with my eyes closed. Area code 469. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, my name is Adele. I'm currently calling from Texas. I just tuned into the show at the last minute, but I just I'm just in love with what you're talking about, because that's what I've been experiencing, and that is when my dualities have come together, the masculine and the feminine energy from within, and they have become one. That is, you can't get no more sacred than understanding the unisys of sexual, of oneness from within. Oh, it is a beautiful thing. Trust me.
I hear it in your voice. You're having a moment right now. You're like,
oh my God. Because this is like so, you know, this is so universal. But we have been taught and have been enslaved to think and look at it outside of us, where we'll find it in. Like, how can you find it in a relationship outside of you when it's supposed to be like not there?
right.
You know,
and even if you look outside for it, because you don't see it inside, you don't really know what you're looking for, because you don't know what it looks like inside.
Oh,
how you don't know what you're looking for.
Oh,
what is
so
your name,
great.
Ellen?
Adele,
thank you for calling and sharing that confirmation, that testimony,
and
keep loving yourself up.
Oh,
yeah. Just be the example of a new way of being.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
So I will let you get on with your song so I can listen to it.
I know, that's right. Thank you, darling. Thank you,
Adele. You're welcome.
Life is good. It's getting better. You know, I tell people sometimes when they're stuck with this, we have a masculine energy and a feminine energy. I'm like, okay, let's keep it real simple. It took your mom and your father to create you. So there's an aspect of your father and there's an aspect of your mother. If you can't deal with the energy stuff, if that just your mind is like, I don't know if I have any feminine energy in me. For a brother, you have your mother in you. For a woman, you have your father in you. It's in the DNA, what I call the duality of oneness. And until we learn to embrace the duality of life, the differences in life, we will never fully know unity. Until we can embrace every part of ourselves, the good, the bad, the ugly, your shadow self, your light self, until you learn to embrace that, you will never really know wholeness. It's about wholeness. Sacred sexuality, everything is whole. You are whole. You are sacred. It's all about acceptance. All about acceptance. And that takes me nicely to a song that I want to play. And just listen to the words of this song. I just think, you know, there's so many beautiful soul artists expressing themselves. Now, this is not the song, but you're going to hear the song in a minute. But I want to remind you to share the show with your friends, your coworkers, your family members, your lovers, your haters, your whatever, your neighbors. Share the show with them by clicking yes. Yeah, clicking yes. Yeah, click yes. Click yes and then click like. You can text it. You can tweet the show, post it on social networks. And, you know, there's another icon on this Blog Talk Radio page that says follow. If you click that, you will get regular updates of the upcoming guests. But if you don't want to do that, and or do that as well as go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. We don't host live shows on Fridays and the weekend. But don't go a day without Life Coach Ade, because you don't. You know why you don't want to go a day without Life Coach Ade? Let me tell you. No, I won't. I'll bring my friend to tell you. Let me bring Les Brown to tell you why you shouldn't go a day without Life Coach Ade.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hey, you know, I'm just saying. No, actually, Les Brown said it. It's going to change your life. And there's so many radio stations out there, but make sure you always listen to Life Conversations Radio. Why? Mark Victor Hansen, tell them why. Because I don't want them to think that I'm boasting. I am, but I don't want them to think that. So you just go ahead and tell them why they should listen to our radio network.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
I rest my case. We do the best hosting in the planet. And they may just give you a little bit of, well, actually, it's a short song. Where is it? I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. You probably know. And then I'll come back and release the show. Just an awesome song. Listen to the words.
Some believe it's right to say Jesus when you pray. Some believe Muhammad, Allah, or Buddha are the way. If they're no God or a pantheon of gods up in the sky, I'll honor your choices and you can honor mine. Whether you are red, black, yellow, brown, or white, a man with a husband or a woman with a wife, we can debate till the end of time who's wrong and who is right. Or I can honor your choices and you can honor mine. We all want the same things from life. We want peace, love, and prosperity. But can we give up our need? Give the world a present gift, the gift of your acceptance. Give the world a present gift, the gift of your acceptance. Some believe that God's a him and some say he's a her. Does God live here in our hearts or out in the universe? King of Christians.
Give the world a present. Give the gift of your acceptance. Gift of Acceptance by India Arie. That's her website address, indiaarie.com. Can we just accept each other? Can we just accept who others are? Can we just accept that God is all there is? Can we just accept that we are already holy? But you know what? You cannot accept others until you learn to accept yourself. That's where you start. When you learn to accept yourself, everything else follows. You've been listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're here Monday through Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Well, we start at 12. How about that? Deborah, my friend, nice to see you. Nice to see you, my sister friend. Celeste, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you all for all you do. Betty, thank you, thank you, thank you. All of you listeners, I truly appreciate you. Those of you who share the show, who tag the show, those of you who listen regularly, who download the show, those of you who listen for the first time, those of you who listen for 1 minute, 5 minutes, thank you for being part of this spiritual playground, CallLifeConversationsRadio.com. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I'll be back here on Monday, 12 p.m. Be love. Be true to yourself and be loved. We're going to release the show with another one from Valerie Joy CD, Deborah Johnson, Unity. That's what's happening now in 2012. I don't care what you believe in. If you don't know Unity, it's going to be pretty rough for you. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. See you on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Okay, come on. There we are. Thank you.
If I am you and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain. A content too infinite to define. Too magnificent to confine. Too perfect to refine. Too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention. A new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection. No more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me
in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to some place I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be. Be what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you, okay, and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fates, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. If I am you, harmony, the dignity, respect, resting on my tongue, ready to bless you, caress you in compassion and understanding, respect, nestling in my psychic space, ready to embrace our dance of differences, amalgamations of cultures and traditions, an exhibition of beauty in diversity, a prohibition of envy and adversity, a unity beyond conformity to the status quo that has to go, for it fails to know that true power is in our unity. No longer judging by appearances, our experiences, expectations or demarcations, duality and abnormality, longer consume as we resume our identity as sisters and brothers of the earth, birthed with the same breath of life, the nefesh still fresh within us. If Jesus can forgive on his cross, then surely I can toss aside my pride, no longer hide the light under a bushel to keep you from my radiance. This mania, playing judge and jury, causing so much fury, digging ourselves in a hole, taking a toll, putting an immoral mortgage on our souls, the debt of which we can no longer pass on to our children to pay.
I can feel your essence. Limbs on the same tree of life.
You.
My life. Your life. Mirrors of the one. Like the sun that must be in its own rays. Let our days be numbered, not by moments or years, not in laughter or tears, triumphs or fears. Let our legacy be our unity, left behind for all to see, a legacy of unity. Alive, available today for all to be.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.